B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
How was the sound from, like, the street here in Lansdowne? How was it from here?
Picture perfect.
Ooh, baby.
You know, ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Step by step. Ooh, baby.
Manure goes for $2 million an acre. Manuel Lewis.
We beg you with the dance floor.
Faster, faster, faster.
Evacuate the dance floor.
Yukos.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Listen to the show live. Stream it, all those things. Would you guys like to hear a nice story about a local athlete?
Sure. Of course. Inspirational. I like these things.
That's right. This is straight out of the Roach book. So my son plays travel baseball, and one of the coaches, I guess, is obsessed with Mizuno gloves. He loves Mizuno gloves.
Is there any other glove, Fred? There really isn't.
I mean, if you're going to go, I mean, it's like a crotch rocket, I guess, of gloves. I like the Harley Rawlings. Give me a Rawlings every day, or a Wilson. But he wants the, in I guess they don't make Mizuno first baseman's gloves anymore, or this particular kind he wanted. So he's watching spring training, and Michael Chavis has got a Mizuno glove that he thinks is really nice. So he direct messages him, and he says on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is, and he says, hey, I've been looking around for one of these gloves. I can't find one. Can you help me out? Well, Chavis gets back to him and says, I'll talk to my rep. Talks to his rep, gets back to him again and says, you know what? They don't make them anymore, but I'll have them make one for you. All you have to do is donate to a charity. So the guy donates to a charity. Chavis has the glove made, mails it to him, along with a signed baseball.
Very cool. Nice. That is very, very nice. So everybody, DM people, athletes, and ask them for free stuff.
Constantly. you know, and then make a wink, wink donation to charity.
Sure. Yeah. I totally Venmoed them. The money.
Yeah. I mean, what do you need? Proof? What do you want me to send you the receipt?
That's good. That's a cool story. That's a good story. There's not enough of those. Usually we're hearing the other side of it. I ran into Kurt Schilling at a Cumbie's, and he was yelling at somebody behind the counter. And that was my experience. Matter of fact, that's a true story. When we were talking about Kurt Schilling not saying that Boston was nice anymore and wanting to leave and going to the ever-so-tolerant state of Tennessee, he said that this listener sent us an email saying that he had walked into a Cumberland Farms one time and saw – this is once again, just according to him. I don't know if this really happened. But he said that Kurt Schilling apparently was yelling at the person behind the counter. And one of his friends for his birthday bought a Kurt Schilling cameo and told Kurt that story. And he has the cameo and sent it to us of Kurt saying, hey, man, I don't remember yelling at anybody, but sorry if I did. So your friend seems to think it was a big deal in his life. So
oh, boy.
Cameo.
Kurt doing it. He's got to make money.
Yeah. So listen, to hear a story like Michael Chavis doing that, that's cool because we usually only hear the other side. You know, the good news seems to not spread like wildfire like the bad news does. So that's kind of cool. That's a neat nugget this morning.
If you look at where Schilling's moving, he's moving to Franklin, Tennessee, which is
That's your mom. That's your mom, no. Dad, right?
No, no. It's
I thought that was my.
No, okay. No. It's an upscale suburb of Nashville, and if he thinks people in that suburb are going to be on his page, he is sadly mistaken. No,
I think you're right about that. I think Nashville's kind of become that, hasn't it? It's a little more. It's almost like Austin is in the middle of Texas.
Yes,
it's kind of like a. No one's from there.
Yeah. I'll tell you about this about Nashville. It's like Atlanta was. It's like Atlanta is now. No one is from, you know, Atlanta proper. And so for you, Rich, Franklin would be like Buckhead. So I know Buckhead's a part of Atlanta, but you understand what I'm saying. I can't think of an affluent. It would be like Alpharetta. Like Alpharetta.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. It's where there's a little big, closer. Nice houses where the money lives outside of the city.
Yeah. But a little closer than Alpharetta. So, yeah, like Newton.
Like Wellesley. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, or even closer, like Newton.
Okay.
And so, because Newton's butts up against the city, it's very, very close. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to go there, and no one's from there. It's all transient. It's all people that have moved, transplants. It's all people that have moved there from other places.
Taking advantage of the better weather and the cheaper income tax.
There's no state tax.
Yeah, the cost of living is next to nothing in Tennessee.
Is that a red state or a blue state?
It's a red state, but it's a blue area. Incredibly blue area.
Okay, good.
It's like Austin. Austin is a blue area and a red state, and Fred's right. That's kind of what Nashville has become over the last decade or so.
Well, if you watched the election, I mean, you saw Georgia. I mean, Georgia swung because of what Atlanta's become. Mm-hmm. I mean, Atlanta's solidly blue, and all the suburbs around it are blue. So, and it's a very, as you all know, I'm speaking obvious, but it's a very entertainment heavy industry, which is and I don't care if you're in the country music business. I mean, everyone I know that lives there is in some way associated with the country music business, and they're all essentially lefty hippies. So good luck. I mean, if he thinks he's walking in there and he's moving into East Tennessee where everyone's going to agree with him, he's completely wrong.
It's still better than living next to Rhode Island and Rhode Islanders for him. I mean, think about it.
I'd move too. But the idea that it's some utopia where everyone's going to share his political outlook is false.
It's crazy.
And typical of him not to research it for 10 seconds. Because if he did move by my parents, oh, yeah, he'd be very happy. I mean, that's East Tennessee. I mean,
it's Knoxville. Yeah, it's over in that area.
Yeah, that's solidly red. Even the city of Knoxville is solidly red. And, you know, in pretty extreme, extreme right. So he'd be perfectly happy there. But he picked the absolute worst place to move in Tennessee. One of the worst places to move in the South for him. Because Atlanta and Nashville are the two, it's all transplants. And it's all very left-leaning. And he is not going to like that. And Franklin is a upscale suburb. I know it. I go to Nashville a lot.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I've been, of course. It's on the way to...
Wally lives in Franklin. I know. Yeah, I know Franklin.
My sister lived in Nashville for years.
Yeah, and so, I've been there a million times. So he's in for it.
Is that where his trailer broke down? Was it in Nashville?
No, he broke down by my parents' house. He broke down I-75.
Okay,
so you have to go 40 west to get to Nashville from where he
broke down. Is
it
still there in the Home Depot parking lot? Is it because isn't that kind of where it was abandoned?
I think the guy said his friend went and got the trailer, right? Like his friend had to go get the trailer. If you don't know, when Houston was having its flooding, Kurt very publicly said, I'm going to collect donations myself, which is, you know, exactly what you want to do because it's the most efficient way of doing things. He was going to load up his own trailers, which he borrowed from people, and have him and his idiot friends drive him down. And Kurt, of course, didn't know how to drive.
He had a trailer that wasn't big enough. It wasn't made to carry the amount of load that he put in it, so it ended up breaking down.
Well, he was pulling a trailer that his that the vehicle he was pulling it with had no business pulling this trailer. And so he couldn't do it. It's hard. I mean, if you've ever driven like I one time had to drive from Detroit to Florida driving because my car broke down on the way, driving a big ass U-Haul with my car attached to it, and it's impossible.
Oh yeah.
So
we had a van trailer. We used to carry our gear in the back, and that even that something that like you know sized is a pain in the butt.
Oh, it's impossible. Around. I mean, I couldn't back up. I just had to resign myself that I wasn't going to back up. So this is not an easy thing to do. That's why these guys have licenses to drive these things. It's hard. It's why they get paid to do it. So this moron, you know, breaks down and he just leaves the trailer because it had so many things that people needed. He just left it by my parents' house down I-75 in East Tennessee. And then so the kid whose trailer it was, who lives around here, goes, you know, I need this trailer. It's about season where I start hauling stuff. And Kurt goes, well, it's in this parking lot, this Home Depot in Farragut, Tennessee or something. And so he goes, oh, boy, well, what are you going to do about it? And Kurt's like, nothing. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything.
Enjoy.
About it.
Here it is. This is from Boston Magazine. The trailer had sat immobile for months in Tennessee, loaded with undelivered supplies and plopped in the parking lot of a Home Depot.
It apparently was it in Maryville?
You know what? I'll have to take a look.
I bet you it was in Maryville. I bet you he pulled right off I-75 right in Maryville and just said,
boof. Said for 4 months, the trailer that didn't had still not been retrieved, and eventually it was towed away and sent to a shop for repairs. All that time, the guy who called into our show, whose trailer was borrowed, had been without their trailer, so they had to go pick it up. After speaking with him several times, finally, Schilling and his wife reportedly agreed to pay the $500 necessary to pay the mechanic who repaired it, as well as for their gas and tolls. The pair departed Tuesday to pick up their abandoned trailer. They plan to drop whatever pet supplies are still usable at a shelter somewhere along the way.
There were a lot of what he was silly with pet supplies is what he brought down there. So if you wanted like old pet supplies, you could go and find Kurt Schilling. What a moron. He was just going to pull up to all the flooding and just go here.
Just like, who wants it?
Instead of like giving to, or instead of not doing anything, it would have been better.
Or just donate to the Red
Cross. Well, that's
what
I was saying.
They were doing it right.
Well, then people go, well, the Red Cross gives money. It just, but these, anything is more efficient than what you did. But then if you do it in an efficient manner, you don't get to be on TV and get to be in the newspaper. He was going to be a hero. That was his whole thing. He was used just like how he dresses up in like military stuff and pretends that he was in the military. And you're supposed to think he's a hero because like he goes, I like the military. And you're like, OK, well, you didn't do anything. You're just saying you liked it, which is a big thing with guys like Schilling is they basically play dress up and they wear T-shirts that like, you know, like I support the flag or like I like the military. And to that, you're supposed to go. That's tantamount to, you know, being in the Hanoi Hilton, you know, like that you're somehow this military hero because you put on a T-shirt. You didn't do anything. Big deal. You support the military. Great. You didn't do anything. I support the military, too. How about that? Now everyone give me accolades. Like running around like with his stupid avatar of like, you know, like the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Get out of here. Oh, look at how much I care. Shut up. Dumb, dumb.
Is he there now? Has he already left?
Yes, he's already in Tennessee.
He's at some motel because I get interested because I'll read about him. And then he's always suggested as a friend on Facebook because he's friends with like Haggerty and like Peep and Zolak and stuff on Facebook. So he'll get suggested as a friend. So I'll look, and he's got like a million videos of him.
He's streaming every day from Tennessee.
Yeah, from this motel room. And it's him looking at the screen and answering questions that you can't see. So he's just like, yeah, Mary. Yep.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't make varsity until my senior year. Yep.
That's what it is?
How long is the video? And then it's like him pecking. Yeah. I mean, they're an hour long, hour and a half long.
God. All right.
But that's exactly what it is. It's him staring at the screen going, yep. Oh, hey. Yep.
14.
Like you just sit in there.
False. And...
I like that one. False. True. Yes.
No, yeah, that's wrong.
He doesn't elaborate.
The gelatinous cube.
Well, that's the answer to a lot of things from middle school. For
but
me.
His wardrobe now is essentially something that you would buy at like a roadside attraction in Kentucky. Is his wardrobe. I mean,
so he's gone full carny?
It's just a series of like very verbose t-shirts like about the flag.
And he's wearing a baseball cap and he hasn't shaved in a few days. You know, that
yeah,
kind of
I mean, whatever. I'm the same way. I can't
That's
knock him
true
for that.
Too. You are exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean, I can't knock him for that. I mean, he's a married guy in his 50s. I mean, who cares? But yeah, his wardrobe is like novelty t-shirts. Like he's
if
got
you
like
don't a, love it, leave it.
Exactly. But like way more words. Like, okay. You know. Like, yeah.
Like who's going to be standing there was one, long enough to there, read the entire thing?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you're bored watching it, so you got to do something. So he had one shirt on that was something like, if you love America, you protect it under any... like, and then it was like this whole thing like about... It was really verbose about how if you love America, like... You always support it no matter what. Da, 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 da. And then he wears these things and he like it's almost like he's put on like a naval uniform or something. He really thinks that he's something else. He thinks he was in the military. It's really stupid.
Well, listen, all I know is that if he was indeed mean to you at a Cumberland Farms, then he is sincerely sorry about that.
And so Michael Chavis apparently is like a big Christian guy, so he's letting the Christian shine through.
Good for him. I'm not joking. Like, it's good to hear stories like that, because all we hear is of these athletes being, you know, a-holes, because everyone wants to talk about those. But that's a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him, man, to go out of his way to do that.
Then you got
to
break in the mitt, and I saw the guy trying to break in the mitt, and his right knuckles were all bloody because those baseman's mitts are almost impossible. You just gotta.
What's the proper way to break in a first baseman's mitt?
Well, Milo has won, and the only way I was able to do it was set a pitching machine on 90 and just catch the balls coming out of the pitching machine. I mean, I oiled it and everything else. You don't want to steam them because they'll break apart.
So you just stood there in front of the machine as it was going 90 and caught him over and over again.
Yeah, I stood in the I stood in the batter's box and just stuck the glove out and just caught 90 mile an hour fastballs.
Me you know, back in the day, we used to like put a baseball in the glove and lie down on the mattress.
I did that too.
Do it that way.
I did that too, but
you
it
never
wasn't
ran
working.
It over. You never ran over it with your car or anything like that.
Yeah, no. back when I was really young, we used a horse and buggy and we drove right over it. It really worked well.
No, I didn't do that. But me and this dude that owns this other. Not this other, not the guy who got the mitt, but this dude that owns this other place just took turns catching 90 mile an hour in the machine. And that was the big, that's what I do with my time.
No Neat's foot oil or whatever that's called?
I used a Wilson's glove oil.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
It's very difficult to break in one of those mitts.
The smell of that kind of stuff is very intoxicating. Used to bring it on dates when I was younger.
It is. You put a little behind the broad's ears and you pretend that you're in the dugout at the varsity field. All right, Rich, the Celtics had a late affair last night.
Hey, that was. I watched the entire thing, too. Stayed up for that.
Even I crapped out midway through the fourth.
I watched the whole thing.
Oh, boy. Into overtime.
Night. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rich watched the whole thing so he can share with you what happened in overtime.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Jason Tatum last team last night, and we will find out what happened in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? Every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, this version of the Boston Celtics played last night. might soon change, but what happened?
No Kemba, no Tatum, no chance.
Inbound, Morant sneaks in behind Rob Williams and scores off the window and the foul. And a huge mistake by Rob Williams late.
Yep, you know things are bad when you can say that Jeff Teague was the best player on the court last night. Memphis beats the Celtics in overtime, 132-126, with Kemba once again sitting out a back-to-back and Jason Tatum a last-minute scratch. Jeff Teague, who didn't even play the previous two games, was given the start and a substantial amount of playing time. And to his credit, he took his opportunity by the nuts.
Celtics down two here. Minute 53 to go. Teague driving on Grayson Allen. Gets in deep. Floats it up and in with the right hand. And the Celtics have come back to tie it with a minute 51 to go.
Yeah, that was the feel-good moment of the game. 26 points in 39 minutes. It was if Atlanta Jeff Teague had shown up. But when that guy is your best player, you got issues. Among the many, the inability to stop anyone in the paint, where the Celtics were outscored by 26 points. On top of that, this team has become an albatross from the free throw line. Another dreadful night. They missed 9 of their 24, including a few doozies. You make those shots, you win the game. And more than anything, they're the opposite of clutch. I don't even know what the term for that is. They just suck in clutch minutes. If a game
slutch.
They're slutch. Let's coin that term. They are slutch when it comes to the end of games, because when things are close there in the final minutes, you just know they're going to lose. Forsberg said last night that this team is 11-18 in those type of games. Jaylen Brown obviously frustrated with the loss last night.
We had this one. We had it. We played really hard. Had a lot of guys step into roles that they usually don't play in. So I was proud of that. But we still could have got this win. You know, it's a lot of stuff we still got to clean up.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of stuff you got to clean up. Brad Stevens was asked about the last-minute decision not to play Jason Tatum after the game yesterday.
Yeah, he did not feel good when he got to the gym. He was complaining of some dizziness. Went out and shot. We wanted to go through and try to shoot. Didn't feel great afterwards either, and it was decided to not play him. And so I hope it's nothing big. Doesn't sound. I mean, he's been testing every day, all that stuff. I would guess it's just general illness. I hope he's...
Jackson.
Just another.
He already had COVID, right? He already had it. So, I mean, it's the odds are against him regaining.
Well, he gets tested every day, just like you said. But he's probably got diarrhea.
That could be.
Dizzy diarrhea?
That's the worst. I mean, you get dehydrated.
Dehydrated. You keep going and going and going, and your body just, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you run out of fluids, and then you stand up too quick, and you get a blood rush.
Massive headache to go with it. Just bad news.
It all just goes back to the old diarrhea.
Dizzy diarrhea, the worst kind. Mm-hmm. Dizzeria, I think is what they're calling it.
He was an old St. Louis Browns pitcher. Dizzy diarrhea. Yeah,
That's right.
Because his fastball was loose and smooth.
Well, the Celtics are now hanging on for dear life, tied for 7th in the standings, nearly out of the playoff picture, with the trade deadline in 2 days. And on that front, we're starting to get to see a clearer picture of what may happen this week. So according to The Athletic, the Celtics have become the favorites to trade for Orlando's Aaron Gordon, who has asked to be traded from the team. The deal would also reportedly send Evan Fournier to Boston, which can use its $28 million traded player exception from the whole Gordon Hayward deal to absorb it, but they'd have to structure a separate deal for Fournier. The Athletic adds that the Celtics they've put a deal out on the table, and that's two first-round picks and most likely a scenario that would involve Marcus Smart heading to the Magic. Yet, because the exception can't be used on more than one player, it also appears that the teams would have to find additional teams to make all the math work. It's pretty much headache-inducing, but Gordon becomes a free agent the summer of next year, and he's averaging about 15 points a game, 7 rebounds. He's shooting a career best, like 40% from 3, and then there's John Collins from Atlanta, and now things get complicated. So according to Shams over there at The Athletic, the Hawks have their eye on trading for Marcus Smart. They like him as a player and they want him. Should they look to make a deal with Boston for Collins and also another player to be included, like Bogdan Bogdanovic? His name's been thrown out there as well. The only thing weird about all this is that the Hawks are ahead of the Celtics in the standings. Why would they trade away those pieces if they believe that they're in it? Because right now, they are in it. You know, are they still fourth? Because yesterday they were in fourth. Yeah. I haven't checked the standings as of this morning.
They are undefeated since Nate McMillan became their head coach.
Well, the thing is also,
eight in a row, I think,
that they're in a New Orleans situation where they believe that to keep this core and to pay to keep this core, they'll never be a championship team. So they feel that they would make moves now.
And Collins, they made the mistake of not exercising the option on Collins. He's a free agent after this season. So maybe they realize they can't re-sign him, so they're going to get something for him before he walks out the door.
No, and I think they could re-sign him, but if they do re-sign him, they don't believe that him and Trae Young and whatever pieces they have are the right recipe. Just like Lonzo Ball in New Orleans, is that they don't believe that Lonzo Ball, along with Zion and
Brandon Ingram,
is the right recipe. So they're willing to move Lonzo Ball. But a tricky, tricky thing.
On the Gordon front, the Celtics have always wanted Gordon. They were after him for the last 2 years, not just this one. They've always loved him. And the difference here is, you know, look at it on paper. You say you're going to trade a guard. Suppose you've never watched Marcus Smart before and you just look at his raw numbers. And you're telling me you can trade a point guard who has those kind of numbers for two guys who both average 15 points a game or more? That's certainly going to help you. I mean, the first round picks are going to be in the low part of the first round anyway. You take those off the table. I mean, strictly player for players, you're getting a better part of the deal. But for those of us who really love Marcus Smart, you're thinking, I really don't want to give that guy up. I mean, it's very difficult to watch a guy like that go.
I don't know. Maybe it's recency bias, and maybe it's just the way he's played since he's come back. And that's not fair, because obviously he's trying to ramp himself back up. But I don't know. I love Marcus Smart, but I'm starting to buy into there's just something wrong with how this team is made up, and almost anything to shake it up. And if it takes, you know, Marcus Smart to get, you know, a piece like Collins, who I really like, and as a matter of fact, I'd rather have that Atlanta Hawks trade than the one with Orlando for Aaron Gordon, to be quite honest.
I would too, but I think Collins, if you're Atlanta, you're asking for a lot more than Smart. And
well,
you could probably get a lot more. Well, you could probably get more. For a guy like Collins, Collins is a really good player and is just coming into his prime.
You think so? If his contract expires at the end of this year and they're not going to re-sign him?
I think whoever trades for Collins is going to ask for a window to sign him to that extension before you get him. That's what I think. I mean, it's a big risk to put a big package on the table and then bring that guy in to watch him walk out the door at the end of the season.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting, because then there's the whole, is Danny going to do anything? I mean, is he going to, you know, why not wait until the offseason to where you can get more value for this exception? So who knows? This is one of the few times that, you know, I really have no idea what Danny's going to do. I mean, because everything up to about a couple weeks ago, I was convinced he was going to make a move. And the way he talked on our show, the way he did it. But, man, things have changed. And I don't know if this team's worth investing in. But we'll have John Corrales from the Boston Sports Journal. Reds Army, John. He'll be on with us to sift through all the mess at 7:20. And maybe he can make some sense of everything that's happening right now with this team.
All right, Rich, what's coming up?
The Bruins, they break the radio silence yesterday. We heard from Don Sweeney about what the team's been going through, and some actual good news coming out of the Bruins as well. Also, some rule changes that might be coming up for the upcoming NFL season that are sure to make people angry.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Which is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So tonight was to be the first game at the TD Garden with fans in over a year, except this past Friday there were a few games that ended up being postponed for the Bruins due to the COVID-19 protocol that five of the players were in: David Pastrnak, David Krejci, Sean Corrali, Jake DeBrusk, and Craig Smith. So you had a game against the Buffalo Sabres. The Islanders was to be tonight. And as of right now, it looks like it's game on for Thursday evening. Don Sweeney yesterday talked a little bit about an update on what's been happening since all of that went down.
You would have enough bodies to play Thursday. You'd feel okay about the numbers of bodies you have, the quality of player to go ahead and play Thursday?
Well, you have to field your team. You're playing a game. You have to put together the roster as best you can. The players that are available have to go out and do the job. So if we had to recall other players or players who are returning from IR that had been working all along, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to put forth the absolute best roster we can and compete and play in the game that we're scheduled to play.
Yeah, what's he supposed to say? I mean, we have to play. We have to play.
Well, I think it was newsworthy to find out whether or not you've got enough players to play, because that's happened in this season where they don't, where a team has not. You know, it's happened in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. But if he's saying we're playing on Thursday and he goes, are you confident that you can have enough talent? I mean, the answer is, well, I have to field the team. I mean, I have to put people on the team to play.
I'm going to wonder. I wonder what the second line's going to look like. What they're going to. How many people are they going to bring people
up? The one nugget was he's got guys on IR that could be coming back.
Carlo is skating, which is good.
That helps.
That's obviously great news. I don't think that he's one of the people who will be playing on Thursday, but it's good that, you know, that was an update positive it came from.
Maybe
it.
The famous missing man.
Maybe Case will come back and
Andrej Case. Mm-hmm. But I guess the players who were on the COVID list, the one that I mentioned, had car services take them from Buffalo to Boston, all the rest of them tested okay because they were on the plane.
That is a long ass drive.
Well, why would you do that?
I know a radio show that had a guy that they used to talk to on the phone in Arkansas. And they wanted to fly him out for an event, and he wouldn't fly, so they had to get a limo service to take him from Arkansas to Detroit.
How long a drive is that?
Well, I've done it many times.
No, estimate. You've driven from Detroit to Florida, so, I mean, you have a basic
18 hours.
Memory. Okay.
That's Kornheiser, right? Wasn't he? He couldn't fly?
No, he would just take a million Xanax. What his thing was is that he would take a Xanax at every fountain at the airport.
Oh, my God.
So he would walk in and, like, he'd see a fountain, so he'd pop a Xanax and take it, and then he would see another one and he would take another Xanax.
That's
I have boxer briefs on right now.
Okay.
And I got to tell you that they do not work with Freddie T.
Really?
These boxer briefs, I hate to say it because I'm very distracted, but these boxer briefs are hug my nuts.
Huh.
And my nuts need to breathe.
So you've been a tidy whitey guy all these years?
No. I'm a boxer guy, but these are boxer briefs.
You're just saying he feels more constricted now.
Yeah, I don't like this feeling.
No,
I don't like this
straight
feeling
boxers
at all.
Is the only way to. That's the only way to go.
Yeah, it was. This was my last pair of underwear, and you ever not pack for vacation? Like you forget to pack something.
Yeah.
Like I always forget to pack underwear. So we were in Maine, you know, a few months ago or whatever it was, and I forgot to pack underwear. So. My mom and the wife went to outlet stores and they picked up boxer briefs. And I got to tell you, this is not working out. I feel very constricted. I feel, I don't know how people can live like this.
No.
Like, did you guys wear jocks when you were, I always am fascinated by this because in all the movies, like the Porky's and stuff, the guys all have jocks on, not cups, but just jocks. Did you guys wear jocks? What the hell's the point of wearing a jock?
I wore cups. Yeah, I mean,
well, like, no, a cup football, is to protect your balls.
Right,
but
right.
Jocks, but no. The jocks is just to stop you from swinging around. But who needs that?
That's weird.
I can tell you who needs it. I could tell you the Detroit Country Day locker room when the varsity basketball team was in there.
Okay.
Chris Webber needed one.
Right.
You're talking to John Wallach, man of the fortunate pleat. So you're talking
that
his
was all
right
pleat.
Now.
That was all pleat. No girl would want that.
What was it, though? Was it, though?
No girl would want that. That would just be miserable for a girl.
Mm.
I mean, you'd be talking about giving birth if that was true.
But why are they in a car? Like why are they taking a car? Because those guys all fly usually.
You
so
would think there'd be some kind of private jet that ownership could have.
Probably wanted to get wasted and just drive around.
It's about 7 hours if you go 75 or 80.
Go to all the West. Go to Rochester strip clubs. Go to
stop after 45 minutes leaving Buffalo.
Yeah. What's that flight?
Just have a mess.
And what is that flight? 45 minutes?
Yes.
So
yes,
you took a 7 hour car ride instead of a 45 minute flight.
The flight to Buffalo is the greatest thing in the world.
Yes, it is.
And then once you get off the plane in Buffalo, it's like the smallest airport, so it rules.
Yes. No, all of that's true, yeah.
I don't know why that happened, but apparently everyone in that car is on COVID protocol, and there's no word yet as to whether they're going to be back.
They wanted to see where all the sports writers went to college. They wanted to stop by Syracuse.
That's right. See a bunch of guys dressed like Tony Reale and, you know, walking around in, like, suits.
That's right. Say hi to my alma mater on the way by. I drove that road many times when I was a kid.
Did you apply to Syracuse?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I went to a school, Hobart, which is about 45 minutes west of there.
Mm. So you were by Buffalo?
Yes. I know the area well. Oh. I've been there many times.
Yeah. I've been to Buffalo a couple times. I've swung it around the Buff Wings place, or whatever the hell the name of that, Anchor Bar.
Anchor Bar, yep.
Very impressive.
Never been there. Always wanted to go.
Oh, gotta go.
You're seriously rich. Cancel whatever you're doing and go there for your next vacation.
You think you've had a wing? You haven't even been to Anchor Bar?
Oh.
It went from a joke to a true, like, I want to go to a game there. Like, I want to go to a game at New Era Field.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine, but after about, I don't know, the pregame, you're fine. That's it.
That's what I want. That's what I want. That's okay. I don't even care about the actual inside the game.
Oh, no. Inside the game is anarchy, too. If you sit in the lower bowl or the upper deck, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're
sat in the end zone the last time I was there.
Yeah, if you're not in the Kelly seats, yeah, you're with the scum.
Was it fun?
No.
Did
you have Patriots stuff on?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's a bad mistake.
I knew better.
Yeah, that's a bad mistake. Yeah, that's just, at a certain age, it's not fun anymore.
No.
And you just don't want it. Well, I've told the story a million times. Yeah. I told you when we went into the Kelly seats and these guys, because my friend insists on wearing Jets gear, like head to toe. He loves it. He like loves it. Because he loves meeting the other Jet fans because they're always funny. Like, I told you the time that we were in Nashville and we were drinking with these Jet fans. And this guy goes, "All right, you think you're a Jet fan?" We're like, "Yeah." He goes, "What does 8 men in the box mean?"
Because only a Jet fan would know that.
No, he wanted to make sure you're not a poser. My friend has a Mawai jersey. He's a lion. He knows about the trenches. So my friend will always wear these things. So we went in, and you know the story about the guy. They were flicking us off, then they were showing their asses, and the guy was showing his nuts.
Right.
And when you walk in, the outer parking lot is where like the true scum is, and they're throwing stuff at you and stuff. And then as you walk closer to the stadium, it gets more like VIP parking, and it calms down. And then when we got into the Elway section, a guy came up to me, my friend, and went, "Oh, hey, welcome. You're very good. You should be happy you got these tickets because you're not down there with the animals." And we said, "Thank you." My friend, who was a season ticket holder for years for the Bills, said, you get these Jim Kelly's areas tickets. You do not want to go into general population.
It's like prison.
Yes. It is prison. Because they're going to want to fight. I mean, they're going to want to fight
right.
Which is fun when you're in your 20s. Mm-hmm. It's not fun when you're in your 40s. You don't want to have to put up with that.
But I want to be a witness to it. I would go there and probably have the most fun that I've had at a football game, just standing watching the chaos outside.
Maybe for an hour. I'm not convinced. No,
I went to Oklahoma. That's like I live for that kind of
stuff. Yeah. No, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, if you don't take it seriously, it's fun. Yeah, if you can be a fly on the wall, and if you still have it in you, like the old Rich certainly, maybe you jump off something to a table too.
Oh yeah.
I won't do any jumping, but I might, you know, drink or eat something stupid and vomit a few times. That I might do.
Okay.
Yeah. Even I know that setting yourself on fire and jumping in through a table is pretty damn stupid.
Yeah, it's not like Kansas City where all the Kansas City fans were like, "Come hang out."
Yeah.
And this guy had a big school bus with like taps on the side, and we hung out and drank with him, and everyone had a good time. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, Buffalo, you know what you're getting. So Buffalo's fine.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's the worst in terms of fans. They're just
really?
Awful. Because they're from Tampa, and they're awful, and they're drunk and stupid.
Do they have a tailgate area? Like, is it?
Yes.
Okay, they do. Okay.
And we had paid to go to a Jets tailgate. This is years and years and years ago. This is before I moved to Boston. And I got as close to a fight as you can get without fighting. We were pushing each other, and then security came and broke it up and didn't kick us out. That was pre-9/11, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Indianapolis was terrible. I imagine the new stadium is not as bad, but in Indianapolis, the people were just awful. Like, tattletale-y awful, and watch your language, and then meanwhile they're telling you to watch your language, but they're flicking you off. those were Indianapolis and Tampa, the worst experiences. Buffalo, I thought was funny.
Well, I just remember Indianapolis when we went to the Super Bowl there. All of the people wearing Colts jerseys around town are gumps.
Yes.
Like, they're just like
walking
they all
around
look
with
like,
their mouths open.
Yeah, they're like dumb, yeah. They're dumb inbreeders. It's and true. They're like so offended that you like, yeah. came to their city. Yeah.
Like, they're all built like Starbelly Sneeches. They just got this big boom at the bottom and the.
Because they know that you don't like the city. You know what I'm saying?
But I do like Indianapolis. I think it's an all right city.
It's
I got
fine.
No problem with it.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. But they know that you would never live there.
Well, that's true.
See, I think Detroit might be pretty violent, but because at the Silverdome, I told you I was there with my dad watching a game and I had a Jets jersey on and a guy came up to me and he said, "Do you want to fight?" And I went, "No." And he goes, "Okay." And then he just walked away. And there was a lot of fighting there. And at the new stadium, my friends all lost their season tickets years ago because they were kept getting kicked out of the games. But I don't know if at a Lions game, if you were wearing someone else's jersey, if it would be violent. Very possible. Very possible. Because I think my friends back then were very violent. Very cool. You're from another place. You like another team. I'm going to beat you up. But my friends, I think, were fairly violent. So, but I was with them. So, and they would give Buckeyes. They all had like Lions helmets.
Yeah.
There was one Lions helmet, and the guy who behaved the worst at the game the next week would get a Buckeye, like a sticker to put on the helmet.
Oh.
They rewarded bad behavior.
I see.
And then now none of them have season tickets and they're not allowed to.
Those helmets, I'm sure, are still a place of honor, like over the mantelpiece or something like that.
Yeah, my friend's brother Joey passed out on the roof of his downtown apartment. And it got to be above 10 degrees outside that night. And he was just passed out on the roof. Joey.
Huh.
Well, that's story
doing?
Time.
How's he doing? Is he all right?
He's a high school teacher. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are robbed of good newscasts around here. We'll explain who has good newscasts as we go around the country for a little segment called Armpits of America in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.